Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
And I'm the Fat Man.
And we're coming at you today with more sports ball. Yes, that's right, America. We are addicted to our sports ball. I'm not going to blame anybody. It's my own dang fault, as the song says. Both of our teams, in every respect of football, are now beyond the pale of losing. And we're now maybe not even looking forward to next year. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Rotten bastards.
But we're not going to talk about football first. We're going to talk about everything else so that this podcast does not turn into just football, that we maintain our sports ball credentials.
I got to say, I probably should have written some things down the last time we talked because I don't even know what to talk about now.
I believe the last episode of sports ball, Cleveland had not gone to the World Series.
Yeah.
Baseball ended. Hockey was just getting started, so was basketball. I don't know if we ever actually talked about the Olympics, to be honest. It was a thing that happened.
The summer ones, what were they, in France?
Yeah, they were in Paris. Still a lot of American domination in the pool. The Chinese suddenly had a swimming team that came literally out of nowhere over the last 8 years. They're definitely not feeding these people steroids from the age of four. I'm sure. It's funny to me. All we have to do in America is make sports part of educational curricula, and we end up as one of the dominant sporting nations in the world. And other countries have to take individuals and put them into special programs and pump them full of chemicals in order to match us.
It goes to capitalism. That's what it comes to. Yeah. And it's one of those things that we gauge whether or not it's good, because we tell our kids so much that if you're going to try for sports, really try. But there's a limit no matter what. There's a time period where you have to become the elite. Otherwise, you won't go to the next stage. And so it's gambling, essentially. You tell your kid to basically gamble with their future, which is, say, for basketball and football. Do you go to college or do you go into professional, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're in college, you know, which college do you go to? Because you could go to the college that gets more attention from the NFL and TV and possibly get an NFL career as far as football is concerned. But if you don't make it into the NFL, what are you doing with your education at that point? What did you do with those 4 years? Basketball gets even worse because a lot of kids have to decide before they even leave high school, before they even get to college, on how they're going to go.
I mean, baseball is the same way, right?
I guess.
No, they draft kids out of high school.
They do, but they don't go right into the farm system a lot of the time. A lot of them tend to go to college, and then they just essentially they're making a commitment. Baseball, as far as the draft, is a little bit more wonky because most of the time they do draft them out of colleges and whatnot. Not.
It's weird, though, because unlike in football or basketball, if you get drafted in baseball, it's not like you're going to go play in the big show.
Right.
There's a reason they call it the big show, because there's a whole bunch of little shows.
Right.
In support of those big, that big show, there's all the minor leagues.
A lot of things have to go right, and you still have to earn your way through the farm club system.
Unlike the rookie contract in the NFL, which is like the first taste of real money most of the kids that get drafted get. It's not that way in baseball. Baseball is kind of a very different animal in that respect.
Even, you know, lower than that, you know, look at your volleyball, look at your soccer, look at your softball. Those are sports that they do have professionals, but they're not much better than farm systems out of baseball or you know, anything like that. And then you've got your track and fields and your actual Olympics level stuff where you can compete, but you still have to get picked up by sponsors to even think about competing in the Olympics.
No, so that's not required, right?
Not required.
And that's why I say it's so tied in with our educational system, the idea that you need to be physically active and participate in some kind of sport, that you can go through, you know, high school and then into college in one of these sports. And it's not about the money. I mean, it is in the sort of scholarship way for college. But it's not like these kids, you know, the people playing volleyball or the track and field stars or the swimming folks, they're not going to get, you know, a huge payday for winning the NCAA championship. Maybe someday that'll happen, but that's not the case. And so really the big thing is the Olympics, and you can get money that way, sure. Because of the NIL thing, that is probably changing now, because the sponsorships kind of mean slightly more for those kids who are still in college. But that stuff has always been a lot more wonky. And so the idea that you could compete at very high levels and go to the Olympics, and, you know, as a country, it's just part of our educational system. From what I've heard from folks who come from Europe, like, sports are not nearly pushed.
Right.
They're not, it's not as nearly as big a part of the educational system as it is here in the U.S.
Right. They're just different priorities, I would say, in life there as opposed to here. Here, we're about making money, and because money is a way of living an easier life. There, it's less about money being to an easier life. It's just life is just easier. They've, you know, as a society, built their life to make life easier in a respect by not having the creature comforts, say, that we have here. Fast food isn't a thing there as much as it is here. The internet as a way of doing things isn't as much of a thing. You know, it's becoming those things, but I mean, it's not required. Here, without the internet, you're like, what do I do with myself? There, they go do lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think there's a different priority.
Although it is starting to bleed that direction.
Well, yeah.
In Europe.
Yes.
Not just Europe. Any basically industrialized or post-industrialized country is shifting that direction, generally speaking, into the fast food consumerism sort of lifestyle.
Right.
Which is not a good thing.
Right. But because, you know, it's because it's spread from America. It's because it's spread from, you know, movies and Hollywood and things like that, you know, music and,
yeah,
it's just spread because of a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's most prosperous country in the world. I mean, people are going to want to emulate it. And right. we serve it up to them on via media just pretty much constantly.
But you don't see the give and take of it all, you know, because not everybody can have that lifestyle. You like say in Germany, you know, I think that a lot of people take for granted all the benefits that they have over there just as a requirement. You're just given, you know, certain amounts of days off and the ability to call out for mental health and to be able to go see a mental health doctor because, you know, your government says you're entitled to it and your employer has to help you with it, you know, and things like that. And I'm not saying it's a perfect system. I'm just saying is that there's a give and take to it. And I think that a lot isn't seen because, you know, you don't see everything, you know, through social media. You don't see everything through the media that you send out to the world.
All right. Sports ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I was going to say, we're going to get back to sports. Anyways, because this all started with the Chinese suddenly having the swimming team.
And the 2 years before that, there was the controversy about how old their skating stars were.
Wow.
Because the International Figure Skating Competition organization has limits, basically has minimum ages that you have to be before you can go compete. And then the Russian scandal that happened with that as well. And so you still see that kind of stuff going on.
I don't think it's just the Russians or the Chinese. I mean, you see how young the gymnasts that we put on our national team for the Olympics. I mean, it's insane. You're going to have 12-year-olds at some point, the way they keep going with this kind of stuff. I mean, it's insane.
That's another one that the Chinese ran into was that I want to say 14 is the youngest. It may be 16. I have to look it up, but it's not. You're not allowed to have 12-year-olds. But there was a lot of question marks about some of the 4 years ago about some of the Chinese athletes because they couldn't really provide actual birth records.
There's a certain irony that us here in America are pointing that out because I don't know if you remember the Little League scandal from.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, what was that? 5-10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the Puerto Rican or Cuban kid. And
yeah, it's like 35.
Some ridiculous age, you know, playing with 12-year-olds. He's like 16 or something. You're like, yeah, there's just no way.
Yeah, he's like double their height and weight, crushing the ball, ripping kids' arms off.
So, I mean, you know, just.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
How's the White Lightning doing? Or whatever your hockey team's name is.
The Columbus Blue Jackets?
Yeah, that's it. I knew there was a color in there.
They're doing good. For the first time in probably 5 years, they are in a spot to actually make the playoffs, though we're just on the downside of the season, halfway through the season, so we still got a long way to go. They look good. It's one of the few times that there are three Russians on this team, and they're some of the best players that we have. So, in fact, one of them is one of my favorite players, Kirill Marchenko. Dude's just great. He came in a couple of years ago. One of the first Blue Jackets games I actually went to in person, he got a hat trick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was really incredible. So, and that was a kick for my fiance too, because, you know, not being in sports, she really didn't understand what a hat trick was. And then to actually see it in hockey.
For those of our fans who don't know what a hat trick is, pray tell.
It's three goals by the same player in the same game. As a matter of tradition across hockey, when that player scores his hat trick, fans will throw their hats literally onto the ice. What happens to them after that is anybody's guess.
Yeah, you're probably not seeing that hat again.
You're probably not seeing that hat again.
That's now the property of the hat tricker. No, I don't know. That's not official NHL lore. Don't quote me on that one.
Well, there is a tradition in the, at least I know in the American Hockey League, which is kind of like a minor league system. A lot of teams will do a teddy bear toss. So during one of the periods, there'll be, you know, a stop and play, and fans will throw teddy bears onto the ice, and those teddy bears get collected and sent out to less fortunate kids, foster kids, orphans, things like that. Yeah, hockey does a lot of cool stuff.
Red-headed stepchildren. Stepchildren. All right, then.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how the Stars are doing because playoffs aren't up yet. And that's when I start to pay attention to hockey. So,
yeah, if you're not into hockey, playoff hockey is the way to get into it because it's very exciting.
I assume they're doing well.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
No, they're doing pretty good. 28-14-1. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have 28 wins. You guys are third place in your division. 57 points and the leader has 61. So, and only the leader has one more win, which is Winnipeg. They got 29 wins, 12 losses, 3 overtime losses. You guys are 28-14-1. So it's those 2 overtime losses. That's the difference.
Yeah. So I figure they'll probably make the playoffs and then I'll start watching and they'll find a way to break my heart.
Did we talk about Arizona? I don't think we did. So
no.
For those that don't know, Arizona used to have a hockey team. They were called the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh!
The owner of the Coyotes ticked off the state of Arizona because he made a deal with the state and said, hey, you give us a tax break on the ticket sales. We want to build this new arena. And they said, okay, fine, but you got to pay us back within however many years. The owner of the Arizona Coyotes didn't pay him a dime. And so the state of Arizona said, well, you can't play there anymore. You can't play in that arena anymore. We're taking it back because you didn't pay your taxes on it. For a while there, they were playing in the hockey rink for the Arizona State University. Well, that didn't work out either. So essentially the team folded and was moved to Utah. I can only assume it's Salt Lake City. It's the biggest city in Utah.
That'd be my guess.
But right now, they didn't miss a season. They're still playing. They're playing this season as the Utah Hockey Club.
Kind of a Washington football league.
Pretty much.
Football team version for Arizona. And
I don't know where they're playing, where their home is yet or anything like that.
So what's Arizona doing with the arena?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I assume they're probably going to turn it into a venue, convention center type thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Concert center.
Was it in Phoenix?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep. That city is huge. I never realized how big that city is.
I work for an auto glass company, and we have two service centers that we actually say are in Phoenix, one in North Phoenix, one in West Phoenix. And then we have another that's in a suburb called Gilbert. Hmm. So we actually have three just in that immediate area. That's how big it is.
Yeah. It's a big city. They're running out of water. As more and more people move to Arizona. Yeah. Aquifer is getting further and further into the ground.
You know, it is in the middle of a fleeping desert.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's been in like a several decades long drought. I know that sounds like an oxymoron that a desert can be in a drought, but it's actually not. There is a normal amount of rainfall that a desert gets.
And I was going to say, too, I mean, it's surrounded by mountains that they themselves get snow and whatnot, and those snows melt. And
yeah.
Because you drive through there and you'll see signs for such and such washout. That's literally where the water from the mountains comes sweeping on through once it's melted.
Yep, during the spring melt.
That's pretty much hockey. Who won MLS? I don't know because it wasn't the Crew.
We're paying as close attention this year, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't the Crew, so I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
It wasn't Inter Miami either, so...
I try occasionally to check in on the Dallas Football Club, but I always fail. We had a guy at work who was really into them for a while, but he ended up moving to Florida. So I don't know what he's doing, but
I wonder if he became an Inter Miami fan.
You know, it's funny, though, of all of the sports, it's the easiest to watch on TV. If you have Apple TV, then you've got it all. You've got access to everything.
That's what annoys me about it, is that my Apple TV has got the monopoly on it. It makes it difficult to watch in some respects, because like if I get cable, I can watch. At least from where I'm at, I can watch my local baseball, soccer, basketball, football, all of that. But with Apple TV, nobody local can have it. I can't watch it, even though I'm an hour away from Columbus without getting Apple TV.
I think the problem on the other side of that is I can't watch the local sports teams unless they're playing away because of the blackout rules. Mm-hmm. Football is the only one they'll play on the local TVs. On cable, they'll black out Rangers and Mavericks games. I'm kind of like, bleep it.
What a mess TV and sports are.
They really are.
Well, baseball this year, I think I'm going to have to, if I want to watch the Guardians, I'm going to have to pay for MLB TV because the sports network, Bally Sports Network, filed for bankruptcy. It was Diamond Sports something or other.
Yeah.
And it was labeled as Bally Sports Network, went bankrupt. And so they can't pay to broadcast the games in Cleveland. And so MLB said that they would take over. So I got to look into that because I don't think I'll be able to watch it locally, which sucks.
I hate that. And for me, the problem is the blackout rules, right? Mm-hmm. And I hate that. I hate it. With a passion, like,
right.
Like, I get it. You want to sell tickets, but I live so far away.
Well, on top of the fact, it's just more of like, I'm local. Like you should be catering to me. I'm actually here as opposed to, you know, somebody somewhere else.
Yeah. And I have no recourse. I can't.
Right.
You know, if I get, you know, MLB TV, they'll still black it out.
Right.
For me, because they'll know I'm local.
You're caught in that donut hole, basically.
Yeah, I either have to go to the game or I have to set up an elaborate VPN system to pretend I'm from Canada.
Yep.
And buy a Canadian sports watching package.
Yep.
And watch it that way. And if you want to turn somebody into a non-fan, that's a good way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Make it impossible for them to watch their game.
Right. Especially for like, you know, sports like baseball or Major League Soccer, which... You know, at this point, the only way they generate money is through ticket sales. But you could make it so much easier. You could expand all that by just not having your freaking blackout rules.
Yeah.
So annoying.
We're still a long way away from baseball. And by that, I mean like 3 months.
No, we're not. Hmm? Pitchers and catchers will report within a month.
Well, yeah.
And then spring training starts at the end of February, first day of March.
Yeah, but like actual games don't start till April.
Ah, what do you know? If you're a real baseball fan, you start counting down until pitchers and catchers report, and then you're just watching every little bit that you can. You don't care if it's a split squad game amongst themselves, you know? You're looking for anything. Because at least in baseball, every day gives you a chance to look positive, you know? Especially if you're a Cleveland fan, man. You're just so over football. You're like, at least with baseball, I don't feel like cut my wrists every Sunday. I'm sorry, true. Was I projecting there?
No, I think you're just acting like a Cleveland fan, to be honest.
Listen here, buddy, your Cowboys aren't that much better.
No, we were not. I think we were 10-7 this year, or 10-8, whatever.
Oh, fuck you and your 10 wins.
No, the other way. Eight wins.
7-10.
Yeah, sorry.
Still.
Wrong direction there. 7-10.
F you and your 7 wins.
Right. We're not that much better, but we are better. At least we're not the Browns.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah, we were kind of dancing around this, just stalling for time. So let's just get into it. Yeah, football was awful for both of us this year, but way worse for me.
Yeah.
Way worse.
Way worse or just worse? I don't know.
No, way worse, because other than being 3-14 this year, our air quotes franchise quarterback Deshaun Watson, not only did he get his Achilles blown during the season, he just within the last week we heard about this, blown the repaired Achilles again, and most likely will not be playing next season.
Yeah, he's never playing again.
Right, he's never playing again. But that's basically it. All of this was happening while he's out there on TikTok and Instagram doing pictures and videos of how wonderful his life is. You know, a picture of him on a cruise with the balcony view while the Browns are getting their ass kicked. And then at the end of the season, him and his wife, fiance, girlfriend, whatever, on the side of some f***ing road, singing and dancing to some other song. Yes, I'm sorry. Everybody's just tired of this because he's got a guaranteed contract. He's taken all this money and he don't care. He clearly doesn't care. He's not with the team. He's not been with the team at all this season, really. And he's out there showing his good life, you know, ha ha, I got your money.
Yep. Doesn't care about the team. Team does not care about him. You went from a quarterback where the front line would have run through a brick wall for him to a quarterback where they would rather just step aside and let the defenses of the other teams rip them apart.
On the other side of the league, in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is Baker Mayfield taking his team to the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Yep.
In which, in his last game, granted he lost to the Commanders, who was surprisingly good this year.
Yeah.
But Baker Mayfield himself is on a highlight reel from a game he lost where people are praising him because not only did he run the football, he ran through the other team's defense to get a first down. He ran 14 yards and ran through defenders.
Yep.
All the while people four years ago saying he was a small quarterback and couldn't do anything.
Yeah, he was never going to amount to anything. He was never going to lead him to a Super Bowl or playoffs. I'm like, you're the freaking Browns. Why do you care? Like, why set your hopes on a freaking Super Bowl? Hey, we made it to the playoffs 2 years in a row. We should be wreathing this man in gold.
Right.
Like, oh no, he's such a bad quarterback. He's not throwing the ball to that one really, really whiny wide receiver enough.
Odell Beckham
Jr.
Where is Odell? He was nowhere. No one talked about him this year.
Because he didn't matter. Yeah. So the Commanders, the reason they're good this year. Oh, shoot. I called them the Commanders. I'm sorry. The Washington football team. The reason they're good this year is because their head coach is Dan Quinn. Now, Dan Quinn was our defensive coordinator. By the Cowboys defensive coordinator. He stayed last year with the Cowboys because he thought we had a real shot to go to the Super Bowl. And I think we really did have a real shot to go to the Super Bowl until that game against Green Bay, where we just collapsed like a flan in a cupboard in the first round of the playoffs. And that's the point at which Dan said, I'm out. And even though Jerry said, we're all in, it turned out we're just all in hell. We pay these gigantic contracts to CD Lamb and Dak Prescott, who held out till literally right before the first game. Prescott signing that like on the hour before going to play the Browns.
Yep.
Looked good for that one game and then were trashed the rest of the season. And I'm tired of these prima donnas. CeeDee Lamb is good. Prescott is good. Fine. Practice with your effing team while you do your contract negotiations so that when you show up in the field, you don't look like garbage.
Right.
And that's what we looked like all season, was garbage. Of course, Prescott got injured. Golly, I want to say it was like game 5 or 6. He had an avulsion in his leg. If you're not aware of what an avulsion is, it's a fancy term for the skin ripping away or the skin and muscle ripping away from the bone.
Jesus.
Yes. Fortunately for him, it was all inside the skin, so it was just his calf muscle ripping away from the bone.
He may not be a good quarterback, but I got to say, when that dude has an injury, holy crap, does he have an injury.
Yeah.
The compound fracture the year before, or was it two years before?
Like basically his foot completely turned the wrong direction, 180 degrees. Yeah. He's not a bad quarterback. He really isn't. But he goes in these slumps where, and it's like drive by drive. You just never know which one you're going to get. Mm-hmm. I think honestly, a lot of it was Dan Quinn's play calling. So Dan Quinn's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I'm sorry. Former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys as of today. I want to say earlier today or yesterday.
I think you mean
it was yesterday.
McCarthy.
Who was I saying?
Quinn.
Quinn, that's right. Sorry. He's the former defensive coordinator who's now the
head coach of the Washington team.
The Washington, football team. McCarthy just got fired yesterday. So it was McCarthy's play calling, I think, that finally ended up with him in the gutter.
And the super wild rumor is that Deion Sanders is going to be coming.
Oh, hell no. None of us want him. Nobody. Nobody wants him. That's how many people want him. Nobody. Granted, Colorado did do a lot better this year. They actually, I think, had a winning season. They went to a bowl game versus the year before, which I think they won 4 games. So, you know, doing better. He's doing better with Colorado, but he can stay there and keep doing better. I don't want him coaching. And the God's honest truth is it does not matter. Jerry Jones coaches that team. He's the owner. He's the general manager. He's the coach. He would be on the field hiking the ball and throwing it if he could. Both of those things at the same time. He's just, you know, a 95-year-old crypt keeper.
Now, I mean, Jerry's got to have somebody watching the kids because for a while now, I guess Jerry's going to be worried about his TV career.
What?
Yeah. So I started watching a few weeks ago a show on Paramount Plus called Landman. The main star is Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jerry Jones himself appears in a scene where he's talking to John Hamm, who's just had a heart attack and whatnot, about why he continues to be the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and why he does what he does is because he wants to work with his children. That's his dream, and he doesn't care what it takes. You know, he's going to keep working with his kids. Yeah. He doesn't say he doesn't care about the team, whatnot, but you could. But the sense that I got from watching that scene was that he goes, "I don't care as long as I work with my kids."
Yeah, I'm gonna drive this team into the flipping ground as long as I can work with my children. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks. So, I don't know what next year looks like. I don't know Cooper Rush. You know, he won 7 games, or not even 7 games. He won, I don't know, 4 games. We lost the rest. Defense wasn't great. We had a lot of injuries throughout the year. We just were not a great football team. And the truth is, we have a lot of talent. You know, it wasn't working together. They weren't a team.
That's pretty much the Browns. I mean, and I don't know if it was because the Browns weren't a team. I just think that by the 4th week of the season, you were so beaten down, it was hard for those guys to find a reason to come to work. You know, you didn't know who your quarterback was going to be. You didn't know if your quarterback was going to be worth it and if, you know, they were going to show up.
Yeah.
The worst part is that we're probably going to lose a Hall of Famer that is Myles Garrett, because even at that point, Myles Garrett came out and he started dictating, saying, "You're not going to do a rebuild. It's way too late in my career for that. And I want to win a Super Bowl. If you're not going to commit to, you know, not rebuilding and that you're going to have a plan to win, then we're going to have to talk about my situation here. If you're a Browns fan, you're like, can't blame them.
Yeah.
I mean, it really effing sucks, but you can't blame them. And, you know, it even makes things even sadder when you know you've got a Hall of Famer that is Myles Garrett. I mean, he's probably over halfway through his career, but he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. First ballot? Probably.
Yeah.
Definitely by second ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah. NFL was rough.
Yeah. It was a rough year on that front.
College football is funny. I was listening to one of our previous sports ball, not the last one, the one before. Boy, we were way off. That was like, we were talking week four is when we did that one.
Yeah, way
back. Boy, things.
Things panned out real different.
Wow.
In real time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no SEC teams made it to the national championship game. And the team that did was only in the tournament because they got voted there, not because they actually won their conference.
Right. So the two teams who made it to the national championship, Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Yep.
Ohio State made it in because of voting. Basically, the committee decided they were quote unquote good enough, and so they put them in. The most challenging opponent they had faced all year was Texas A&M. At the very, very beginning of the year, every other opponent was ranked lower than us. Army was the only one that came close. Yep. So despite that, they go on to beat Penn State, if I remember correctly. Or no, so the Penn State, beating Penn State was the semifinal to get into the final. I'm trying to remember who they beat before that. SMU? No, Penn State beat SMU. Okay, so the whole thing was just crazy. S show to break it down. So we'll take it from the top on this one. So,
Notre Dame beat Indiana in the first round.
Indiana,
and then they beat Georgia.
So let's break this down. The SEC has 16 teams. The Big Ten, I believe, is 16 teams, if I remember correctly.
Well, now that the California teams came, or the Pac-12 came.
Pac-12 teams. The Big 12 has 18 teams. I don't know how many are in the ACC. I've never known. I don't know now. The Pac-12 folded. There are two teams that are still part of the Pac-12, quote unquote, play in Mountain West, right? So the original design of the College Football Championship playoff, not the original design, the second design, the 12-team design, the one I hate with a fervent passion, was set up so that the four top conference champions would get a bye, and the five top ranked conference championships would all be in guaranteed. This was all negotiated and made when there were five quote unquote power conferences. You had the five power conferences and you had the five group conference teams. So you had the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC, all considered power conferences, and then the group of five conferences. The American Athletic Conference, Mountain West, there's three others. Those were all kind of the lower tier. So the idea was all five power conferences would have their conference championship guaranteed into the playoff. Well, then there's only four Power Five conferences. It's not Power Five anymore. It's Power Four because the Pac-12 dissolved. So now you have a guaranteed group of five conference getting in, right? And that turned out to be Boise State, if I remember correctly, coming out of Mountain West.
Right. They were the number three spot.
They were the number three spot, right? So Boise State, funny enough, ends up getting ranked over the ACC. which is supposed to be a power conference. Boise State, the conference champion, gets ranked over the ACC conference champion, which is Clemson in this case. And so they get a bye.
Yep.
So this is a group of five. So this is the first problem, right? All of the things that everybody pointed out with the issues that we were going to have with the 12 conference and all the concessions that were made to the power five conferences, they've all come to a head in this season, in the very first playoff. So that's the first thing. You have Boise State getting a bye, first round bye, for winning the Mountain West. Good job. Right. All right. Let's go on to the next one. So you have the next set of problems. So the Big 10 has the same number of teams as the SEC, but it has far less quality within that 16 set of teams. Of the 16 teams in the SEC, I'm trying to think of, Mississippi State, I think, was the, and possibly Arkansas, were the only two that weren't ranked in the top 25 at some point during the year. And go through the list. Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Texas, right, who stayed at the top three the entire year, bouncing between one and three. Vanderbilt.
That beat.
Ranked 25.
Did they beat Texas or Alabama?
They beat Alabama.
They beat Alabama.
They beat Alabama. Tennessee, South Carolina, who ends ranked higher than Texas, Texas A&M was all the way up to 10 at some point. South Carolina ends the season ranked number five. Florida. Actually, I don't think Florida ever got ranked.
No, they were
close at the end there. They went. They suddenly went on a winning tear and destroyed Mississippi State and several others. Like they're the reason Mississippi State didn't get in. But that's the point. In the Big Ten, you have Ohio State,
Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Purdue, Penn State, now Oregon, USC.
Yeah. So out of those teams, the ranked ones, Oregon's, right? Not Oregon State, but Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and then Indiana. You have four ranked teams out of 16 versus 12 ranked teams out of 16.
Right.
So the 12 ranked team or the 16 team conference that has the 12 ranked teams are beating the crap out of each other all season. You have tons of injuries, tons of turnover, tons of problems.
Like our conference actually is competitive within itself.
Right.
Of the 16 teams, at least half of them are ranked.
Yeah. Ohio State played two ranked teams. That was Penn State, who they beat, and Oregon, who they lost to. Mm-hmm. Oregon played one ranked team. That was Ohio State, who they beat. Penn State played one ranked team. Ohio State, who they lost to. Indiana played Ohio State, the one ranked team they played, and they lost to them. All the other teams are just beating up on, getting to practice football effectively, you know, against mildly difficult opponents. Whereas in the SEC, every weekend is a knockdown, drag out fight. And if you lose one of your key running backs or quarterbacks or wide receivers, that's it. You're out. Sorry. Thanks. Thanks for playing. You're going to get four losses. Who makes it through the gamut? Georgia, because Georgia is the best team in the country. I don't care. I don't care who wins the national championship, whether it's Notre Dame or it's Notre Dame, who literally played one ranked team their entire season, and that was Texas A&M. Or Ohio State, Georgia's a better team. They're just beat up, right? Texas, whose biggest opponent was Georgia the entire season. They played twice. They lost twice. The next biggest opponent they played was Texas A&M. The next down from A&M was Vanderbilt. So the reason Texas gets into the national championship and looks so good is because they managed to scrape out the easiest conference schedule in the SEC possible. You played nothing but trash teams.
But they got beat. Who did they get beat by?
Georgia.
Georgia. Okay.
They got beat by Georgia twice.
That's right.
First at home and then in Atlanta.
Because I just keep thinking back to SEC shorts and like Vanderbilt beat more than just one team. Because like there were a couple weeks where Vanderbilt was the star of SEC shorts. So
I mean, they end up getting taken out by South Carolina, who came out of nowhere, who was awful the first five games. And Alabama gets beat by Oklahoma, of all people, who's the worst record in the SEC, like very last game before the conference championship, beats Alabama, knocks them out of the, Florida, who was pretty bad most of the year, but kind of came out strong. They knock.
That was just it. A&M, which was where we were just barely ranked, but conference wise, we were in the hunt for that last game with Texas. If we'd won, we could have possibly, we were still very much in the hunt. We'd had to have a couple other things.
Before the South Carolina loss, we were ranked number 10.
Right.
We would have been in either way if we kept winning. But that's the problem. That's hard to do in the SEC. It's not hard to do in the Big Ten, and it's easy in the Big 12.
Right. Like if a one loss team in the SEC could make it, then a one loss team in the Big Ten absolutely should make it, you know, and they did. I mean, Ohio State, I mean, look at them.
Yeah, exactly.
They lost two games.
by guarantee. Oregon beats Ohio State for the conference championship in the Big Ten. Georgia beats Texas again for the bye for the SEC. Texas still gets in, still ranked higher than Georgia, even though they've been beaten by Georgia twice now. All because Georgia went toe-to-toe with Georgia Tech into 8 overtimes the week before. They still won that game. It's just one of those years. And then the ACC squeaks in with 2 teams because Clemson loses to South Carolina because that's a non-conference game. They're still eligible for the conference. They go and they beat SMU in the conference championship. And the committee is like, well, we don't want to discourage people from going to conference championships, so we're going to let SMU in too. So they pick SMU over Alabama and South Carolina and some other school I can't even remember from the Big Ten. I don't care. it's a travesty. I don't care. Like SMU, they lost. They lost a conference championship. Yeah, they beat up a whole bunch of other like bad Big 12 teams. Because in the Big 12, it's even worse. Because you got 18 teams and only 2 of them are good.
Well, let's point it out this way. Like the reason... A lot of the
ACC
genesis of this tournament came from years where like UCF and University of Hawaii had undefeated seasons. Granted, they don't at those times they weren't playing big universities, but a tournament system, at least with those that were undefeated, they could try to make their case there that they had real competition in the tournament. They could make their case that they were worthy of a top tier competition. Yeah. You know, and thus probably dragging their schools into a better division,
yeah,
or a better conference or whatever. But you're not getting that here because nope, everybody had flaws this year. Everybody. And you're looking at it and you're like, well, then if everybody had flaws, then how come tougher teams that have had tougher schedules didn't make the cut?
Right. Like, does strength of schedule matter?
Right.
And apparently the answer is not really. So these teams, they're just not... It's not equivalent, right, getting into this thing. So what we end up with is Tennessee makes it in, Georgia makes it in, and Texas makes it in, right? And Georgia and Tennessee more or less make it in on their merits. Texas makes it in because it had the easiest schedule within the SEC.
All in the money.
Penn State makes it in because they had a super easy schedule in the Big Ten. So does Indiana. They make it in because they literally played nobody other than Ohio State. Same with Penn State. And they both lost, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same deal with Texas, right? They played nobody and except for Georgia, and they lost. By the time they played A&M, we weren't even ranked anymore. That's how bad we were. We were like maybe 25. I don't know. But after the loss against Auburn. And then you've got Arizona State. Like, that's the hilarious thing is both the Big Ten and the Big 12 end up having their conference championships won by former Pac-12 teams. All right, Oregon wins the Big Ten, Arizona State wins the Big 12, which just tells you how little talent there is, generally speaking, in the Big 12.
I mean, Arizona is the school that American Dad makes fun of.
Yeah. So Arizona State, they get a bye. Boise State gets a bye.
Yep.
Georgia gets a bye and Oregon gets a bye. And so Notre Dame beats Indiana. Texas beats
Clemson
pretty handily, if I remember correctly.
38-24.
How much did Notre Dame beat
Indiana? 27-17.
Yeah, I remember that wasn't that close of a game, but it wasn't that far off either. See, Penn State, who did they play?
SMU. And they beat the crap out of SMU.
Yeah, they beat the little, yeah. So much a better game than it would have been had Alabama been in there, for sure. Definitely. Or South Carolina. Yeah, definitely shouldn't have picked those teams over SMU.
And subsequently, Ohio State beat the crap out of Tennessee.
Yeah, they did. So, you know, that's where you start to think, okay, maybe Ohio State actually has the chops, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost their rivalry game to Michigan somehow, and they lost to Oregon during the
regular season.
During the regular season, right? When because of that, they did not play in the conference championship. Texas goes on, plays Arizona State. That goes down to the literal wire in overtime. I want to say that goes to two overtimes, if I remember correctly.
Texas and Arizona State, yeah.
Yeah. Texas and Arizona State. Georgia ends up losing to Notre Dame.
A little shocker there. That's for sure.
And that went down not to the wire. Basically, Notre Dame got 10 up on them and stayed 10 up on them the whole game. Mm-hmm. Kirby just could not put it together. So a lot of question marks about Kirby's coaching. Then again, he had a really beat up team and Notre Dame didn't. Playing with a lot of backups, a lot of second string guys. So I'm not really sold.
Well, end of seasons now look different for a lot of teams because a lot of guys go into the transfer portal. A lot of guys decide to go to the draft. And then, like you said, then there are injuries. So, yeah, college football is definitely, I think we're going to have to get used to a new normal, which is that your team works really hard most of the season. And then you have almost completely different team at the tournament.
Yeah.
At the playoff.
You know, that's what we saw in the bowl games. Basically, SEC teams versus Big Ten, the SEC lost pretty much every bowl game, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. The SEC loses. Why? For the A&M USC game, it's because four of the best A&M starting defensive players didn't play that game. And so we had a wide open secondary and kind of an iffy defensive line, which USC was able to run against and to play against. Not that it wasn't a good game. It was. It went to overtime. But sadly, A&M lost because it was like 2 a.m. by the time the game ended, because we were playing in Vegas. And if you didn't know this about Vegas, it's not in the Mountain Time Zone. It's in the Pacific.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I went there this last year. It screwed me up. Let me tell you. Thought I was going 1-2 away. No, that messed me up hard. That game didn't start till 10 o'clock Eastern time. It was 11:30 Eastern time, 8:30 local time. Way too late. Way too late. And I think that's just how it's going to be. The SEC teams, and SEC versus any other conference, we beat them in the bowl games. But most of the SEC teams, they're the farm league for the NFL for the most part. So a lot of their guys are going to go off to the NFL for the bowl games. There's going to be people transferring out of the team when they realize they're not going to have the starting positions. And so generally speaking, the SEC team that plays in a bowl game is going to be the second and third string, possibly fourth string, depending on injuries. And that's just how it's going to be. And it's going to be, can the SEC second and third string teams beat, you know, whoever they're playing on the other side of the ball? And it turns out if it's the Big Ten, no. They're, you know, mediocre, decent level teams. And if it's, you know, the Big 12 or the Mountain West or the ACC, then the answer is yes. Yes, we can. It's been a very strange year. I can very much see a lot of if we have another year like this one where the SEC just beats the crud out of each other and round robins. And yet again, we don't get into the national championship effectively because of that. I can see there being a real push for the SEC to have its own playoff system instead of just a single championship game, to have an actual playoff. And then, I don't know, maybe eschew the other playoffs, or I don't know. You know, this is all headed towards the English Football League system where the SEC is the Premier League. That's where we're going, folks. That's, you know, that's kind of where the money's going to direct all this. Eventually, Ohio State and, you know, maybe Oregon or who knows will promote into the SEC, and, you know, we'll probably demote maybe Missouri and Florida or Mississippi State, or who knows. I don't know
if that's going to be the case. Despite being toothless and ineffective, the NCAA still is the rule maker when it comes to college sports, including college football. I think that in order for that to happen, the SEC is going to still have to be dominant across the board. Like, even in the tournament, they're going to have to do that. You're still going to have to see the playoff selection be what it is, like it is this year. But the SEC teams are going to have to win out. You're just going to have to hear a whole lot of crying from SEC school fans you know, talking about how they want more of the teams, more of the SEC teams in that playoff, because they're not getting in because they're too busy beating each other up. So their records don't look as good because they're having to beat each other up.
Well, I think you have a secondary effect where, because even the teams who were able to beat up more teams than they were able to beat or get beat by, they take so much in the loss in the way of injuries and just spending up their stamina trying to get through the regular season that by the time they make it to the playoffs, they're spent. And I think that's what we saw with Georgia and Tennessee. I think those kids were just done. Both teams were riddled with injuries, you know, which causes leadership problems, which causes, you know, if you're bringing a second or third string guy into being your starter with two games left in the season, that causes problems because he's just not been gelling with the other guys. He doesn't have his rhythm down. He's not been playing with all the other people. And that is, if I can cohesively bring a football team through a 12 team or through a 12 game season or 15 game season and be cohesive and keep pretty much all of my starters, then even if the talent level isn't huge, the fact that they are a cohesive unit that's played football that entire time and knows how to win games that way, you can be very effective. And I think that's exactly what Notre Dame did. I think they basically played a bunch of low tier teams and focused on just playing as a team and playing decent football, even though they don't have the talent level that a lot of the other teams, because they didn't take the injuries.
Notre Dame's always hedged its bets towards anything. That's why they're not in a conference. That's why they've been able to consistently not get forced into a conference, because if the NCAA was actually interested in fairness and balance and whatnot, it would say to Notre Dame, you have to pick a conference. You're going to have to pick either the Big Ten or the Pac-12. And I say Pac-12 because they don't have anybody in it. So it's either you get to pick the conference that has money and you actually go play with them, or we put you, you know, we put you down in the basement.
Yeah.
I don't think the NCAA cares that much, because Notre Dame still carries with it a trademark name and a history behind it that the NCAA can still bank money off of it. So it's not a problem for the NCAA. That's why they're able to get, that's why Notre Dame's able to get away with it.
I just think if we see this happening year over year over year, I think the SEC teams will get tired of it and be like, look, we can't win.
Sure.
Because we've beaten each other up too much. And because you guys, all of your schedules are soft and ours are not. And we can't win because of that.
That'll take 5 to 10 years.
I don't know. The way things move anymore. But then again, it took us like forever to finally get a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
12-team playoff, which is still bad.
Which is funny because, like, say the NFL is consistently year after year adding more regular season games and take it away. To them, they don't have that problem with making the change that's best for them, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, that's college football. There's a lot of anger and random sadness. Yeah. But I think Texas A&M will look better next year. Mike Elko's second year. We'll have Moss back. We'll have Daniels. We'll have, what's his name? Emmett Smith III. We'll have, there's another Owens. So we'll have a very strong running back core along with Reed, who is a very strong running quarterback. And really, we just need a good wide receiving core.
Well, we need an O-line.
That's always true. Like, that's I think we had an okay O-line. We didn't have a good O-line. We had a good D-line. And as long as we maintain that, we'll be good. But our O-line was not good. You put them up against a good defensive line and they're going to fall.
Right.
They were okay. So, yeah, we do need a good O-line. That helps the running game quite a bit. It helps the passing game, too. But the reality is our receiving corps couldn't do a whole lot against most people's defense in man-to-man. Mm-hmm. They just weren't fast enough. We lost a couple guys, Stewart being one of them this year, that he was one of the fastest guys. He went somewhere else. I can't remember where. You know, Muhammad was good when he was good, and he wasn't when he wasn't, but he's gone. You know, this was his last year of eligibility. If we can get some good wide receivers, good O-line, I think we'll be in really good stead. I don't know where Connor Wegman's going, but I hope he does well wherever he goes. You know, it turned out well for Haynes King in the end. He played with Georgia Tech this year, did an amazing job, almost beat Georgia, you know, took Georgia to 8 overtimes, won the opening game of the year against FSU.
In England.
In Ireland.
Yeah.
No, don't you add this. Yeah, 300 years of slavery.
but you know, not here. So
choke on a ham sandwich. yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, maybe we'll talk about the winner of the national championship. I'm probably going to root for the Buckeyes just because they beat Texas and I was happy for that.
I'll root for the Buckeyes because my future in-laws are Buckeye fans, but
yeah,
they're annoying, those fans. Not my in-laws. They're wonderful people, but most Ohio State fans just... they're like Yankees fans. You think like they've been, you know, subjugated for, you know, for generations with not winning the national championship. And I'm like, are you kidding? They've won at least two, if not five, in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a little bit on the arrogant side, much like the Texas fans.
Well, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't like Texas fans either. But I mean, for me, Texas is in the SEC. So, I mean,
yeah,
whoever wins, it's going to be unbearable.
Yep.
If Notre Dame wins, it's just going to be Rudy. Rudy all weekend, every weekend for the whole year on TBS.
Yep.
Starting Friday nights at 8 o'clock and not ending until midnight on Sunday.
It's repeats of Rudy.
And then only until Christmas. And then at Christmas, they switch to A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Rat bastards.
All right, folks, I think that wraps us up for sports ball for a while. We'll probably come back at you when baseball's underway and whatnot. And in the meantime, we're going to get back to the movies, back to some cinema. If you'd like to give us some suggestions on that, head over to our website, patandthefatman.com. Leave a comment on one of our episodes. We'll take a look at that and then click that Become a Patron or Support Us button, and that'll take you over to Patreon, and you can become a fan or a big fan or a really big fan and give us a dollar a month. That's all we're asking for. I think if we've entertained you, it might be worth that. And all that money goes directly to our editor, who is lovely and talented and makes this show listenable. So dollar a month, really appreciate it. Remember to share us with your family, friends, and anyone you meet on the street. Podcasting very much is shared by word of mouth and recommendations. So we have a Facebook page if you'd like to follow us, as well as an Instagram, Pat and the Fat Man on both of those, and then a X handle at the Fat Man 1238.
Yes, 1238. Yes.
1238. And until next time, I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Go Jackets.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I don't. It's my own damn fault.